The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Well, good morning. We're going to talk today about Cinderella, continuing our series on fractured fairy tales. And here are the hashtags for today's message, at Jerry Gotze, hashtag Cinderella, hashtag fractured fairy tales, at Remnant Church. We encourage you to tweet the message, post the photos of the slides on Instagram or whatever you want to do. You can even Vine if you are so inclined. So anyway, let's open up with a word of prayer, and let's ask God to bless us this morning. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and all that you're going to do today, God. We ask that you will just open our hearts, Father, because today is a very, very important message, I believe, for all of us, whether we're married or single or whatever, because, God, all of us struggle here. So bless us now, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. I like the story of Cinderella. It's interesting. And Cinderella had the wicked stepmother and the wicked stepsisters. Now, we know they're wicked because evidently that was part of their name. Wicked stepsisters. But look at that one in the middle. Doesn't she just look like she'd tear you alive just to see what would happen? And the other two girls, well, they're not exactly princesses. I actually like the version of the Cinderella story Ever After. And they were really wicked. Those chicks needed, well, the two of them. One of them was okay, but the best part of that movie is when the blonde girl gets punched in the eye. It's knocked back order. The best part of the movie, just suck her in the eye. What do people know about you by the way you talk? Now, I hope you wore your big boy pants today because we're going to get down and dirty today. We're going to talk about how we speak. If you want to turn in your Bible, we're going to be in James chapter 3 all day. We're going to talk about how we talk to one another. And whether you're married or single or really about the only way you get out of this is if you live as a hermit somewhere off way, way far away and you never interact with anybody. But since you're here today, none of you fit that criteria, so you're all in it. How do you talk to people? What do people know about you because of the way you talk? And I will tell you that some of the most gossipy people I've ever met, some of the people who were the most cruel with their words, were Christians. And that hurts me to say that. I've been in the ministry for a whole lot of years. Eventually, you just can't remember anymore. You just say, well, it's been a long time. I've had board members that thought nothing of walking into my office and telling me that they thought I was the worst pastor they heard the face of the planet. And look, and they may have been right, but that doesn't mean I had to say it. I mean, I've had some really ugly things said to me in the guise of, you know, brother, I'm just trying to help you. Back in the 80s, there was a thing that went on called Truthing in Love. I'm just going to tell you this, brother, because I love you. All right, if you have to warn me you're going to tell me something, you have to warn me before you tell me that you love me, you're not about to love me. You're about to lay the hammer on me and act like it's godly. Okay, so let's talk about some of this today. Can we just be honest for the next few minutes? All right, it's me preaching for the next quite a few minutes. Let's go. James chapter 3. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Boy, isn't that the truth? If you could just control your tongue, everything else would be fine. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And we're just going to kind of work our way through this passage in James. So the first thing we need to know about the tongue is small, but it's powerful. It is small, but it is powerful. And let me tell you something. If you don't believe the tongue is powerful, walk up to somebody and tell them what you really think. It could be dangerous, right? You could be like the girl in Ever After, get sucked in the eye. James starts by telling us all about the tongue, and he says, hey, this is bad. This thing is bad. In fact, he tells us, if you could find someone who knew how to control his or her tongue at all times, who never said anything wrong, then you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of their life. Anybody here foolish enough to raise your hand and say that you never make a mistake when you speak? Watch, and then we'll ask everybody that knows you whether it's true. You know I can't raise my hand. I am the king of saying stupid things. Learn from Pastor Jerry. A little tip from your Uncle Jerry. Never walk up to a lady and say, oh, when are you due? Bad idea. Bad idea. We had one of our clerks at the sheriff's office who, I mean, she got bigger as she went along. And I waited until it was obvious that she was either pregnant or somebody was pumping her full of helium or something, because she was really big. She had twins, as it turns out. She was really, really big. And I waited to ask him, you know, about the baby and stuff till it was obvious that that was the only possibility that could be. Because I'm not stupid. I've made that mistake before. Yes, I have. See, my biggest mistakes, and I'm sure none of this applies to you. I'm sure this is just me. That you never have a problem like this. Liars. I'm sure that, okay. My biggest mistakes are the ones I make with my mouth. The most trouble I get into is because I shoot off my mouth. And it's obvious. And you'd think, at some point, you'd think, hey, Jerry, don't be stupid. And I can't help myself. This little tiny muscle in my mouth causes so much trouble. I've told you before, when I was youth pastor at Faith Assembly, I had a kid in my youth group, and you know, he was coming to the youth group, and his mom was a pain. Everything we did, she was just a pain. So finally, she calls me in my office one afternoon. She says, you know what? My kid got a D in math, and it's your fault. You're keeping him out late, and you're causing all this trouble. And I just snapped. I said, you know what, ma'am? Your kid got a D in math because he's dumb. Trust me, that's not the worst. It goes downhill from there. And I said, and you know what? Quite frankly, ma'am, you're always complaining. I don't care if you ever come back. Okay. Hung up. 10 minutes later, I got a phone call from my uncle, Pastor Brewer, who did care whether or not this lady ever came back, and made me call her and apologize. I would have rather gargled razor blades than apologize to this lady. But you know what? I did. Because first of all, I knew I was wrong. As soon as I said it, like, oh, crud. This is not going to go well. Like a small rudder on a ship. Like this huge horse. Anybody watch the Belmont Stakes yesterday? History in the making. 37 years. They never had a Triple Crown winner. American Pharoah won the Triple Crown yesterday. This huge horse, what, 3,000-4,000 pounds? Little tiny metal bit about this big is what's in that horse's mouth, and that's what controls the horse. That huge horse, little tiny metal bit. I was going to say your huge body, but that's not fair. My huge body is controlled by this little tiny piece of flesh in my mouth. Even though the tongue is a small part of your body, it is perhaps the most powerful part. Let's go back to James. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire itself by, or it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Second thing you know about the tongue is small, but it's dangerous. I mean, and that passage right there just covered the gamut. Hey, it's you know, you boast and get yourself in trouble and all kinds of things. And in fact, I put it this way. Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, couldn't have been more wrong. Broken bones heal much quicker than the wounds that are left by an out-of-control tongue. I am 56 years old. I handwrite, cursive writing, if you can call what I do cursive writing, only to sign my name. Because in third grade, my third grade teacher held up a class paper of my cursive and said, Jerry Godsey has the worst cursive writing I've ever seen in my entire career. Oh, thank you very much. And so I block printed since then. I got an F in cursive and I didn't care. So I block printed from then on. I took notes in college, everything, block printing. I don't handwrite. In fact, when I was teaching at Faith Academy, I felt kind of hypocritical because one of the things we had to teach was cursive. And I'm grading other kids' cursive papers and they're writing better than I did. I had the grade book though, so it helped. You ever been hurt by the words of another person? Have you ever hurt another person by the words that you use? I've been married 33 years. I know I've hurt my wife, I don't know how many times, by the things I've said. Never meaning to be mean. I've never purposely gone after her. But I've said stupid things. I've been careless with words. And there are people that I have tried to hurt. People that I wanted to get my pound of flesh with. And it's just evil. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Couldn't be farther from the truth. Because your words do hurt other people. Your words can devastate other people. We had a girl in our youth group in El Cajon that was, she had some issues, let's put it that way. And the kids in the youth group, and I'll never forget this, we're driving in the bus, and she's sitting in the seat right behind me. I'm driving. And the kids in the youth group are joking and laughing and stuff. And they joke with each other all the time. But they said something about her appearance. And she laughed. She was turned, and she laughed. And then she turned around and looked forward, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw the look in her eyes. I saw the tears that she gulped back, because she wanted to laugh to make them know it was, you know, they didn't get her. But inside, she was devastated. How many times have we done that to people? How many times have we unthinkingly, or then we followed up with, oh, I'm just kidding. You know what? That doesn't erase the pain. It doesn't erase the hurt. I can get over the pain of a physical injury. But if you say something that hurts me physically, hurts me mentally, spiritually, that takes a lot longer to get over. Sometimes our boasts can get us into trouble. You ever shoot off your mouth and bite off more than you can chew? Okay, again, I know it's just me. I love the story, and I tell it every time we talk about the tongue because it's just so apropos. When I was coaching Little League years ago, we moved up to majors, and we had a horrible team. We were bad. We lost every game. We brought this kid up from the minors because one of my kids broke their arm. Like one of the few good kids I had broke her arm. Anyway, brought up this kid named Mario. He comes up from minors. And the reason he came up from minors is because he was the oldest kid in the minors. If you're the oldest kid in the minors, there's a reason you're there. And it's not because you're a stud. They brought him up to our team and he walks into his first practice. He tells Critter, my son, you guys are going to win some games now that I'm here. Okay. And Critter's looking at him and said, okay. First game, Critter's up to bat. And Critter had a really bad habit of diving into pitches because he thought it was funny. So he dove into this pitch, and he took one right off the back of the helmet. And here's the other thing Critter loved to do. He would lay there and milk it as long as he could. Not hurt. You'd have to hit him somewhere else to hurt him, not in the head. God knows not in the head. He'd be fine. Like a pretty thick skull there. He lays there. Oh. What are you doing, Critter? Nothing, Dad. I'm making the pitcher feel bad. Go to first base. You're embarrassing me. He runs to first base. Mario is in the batter's box. And this kid looks like he just saw a UFO. All right, Mario, it's your turn. No, no. Mario, you got a bat. No, no. Get up there. He goes, he stands in the batter's box. Now, I've seen kids, you know, like step away from pitches. I've never seen this before. The pitcher looks in, starts his windup, and as he starts his windup, Mario runs out of the batter's box. I kid you not, the kid's like almost back to the on-deck circle when the pitch is delivered. He just ran. And I went, so the umpire says, strike? Anything else though? You could have rolled it, he would have called it a strike. Mario, get back in there. No, no. Yeah, yeah, get back in there. You got a bat. Pitcher starts his windup. Two at-bats, he did the exact same thing. I couldn't pull him. I didn't have anything else to put in. I went to the president of the league. I said, put him back in the minors. He's going to get killed up here. But remember, he was the one who said, yeah, you guys are going to win some games now that I'm here. Not unless something really drastic happens here, Sparky. Sometimes our mouths can get us into trouble. We'll boast and we'll say that we're going to do this, we're going to do that, or we're going to be this, or we're going to be that. And it's like, no, no, you're really not. Let's go back to James. Sometimes it praises our, talking about our tongue, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. See, the third thing you need to know about the tongue is it's small, but it's revealing. The tongue will tell me everything I need to know about you. All I need to know is listen to you for a little bit. All I need to know about you, I can gain just by listening for a few minutes. People know what's in you by what comes out of you. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, but the things that you do and the way you talk don't match that claim, then you're not fooling anybody. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Go to church every Sunday. A remnant. Got a bald-headed pastor wear shorts all the time. Oh, by the way, you see that guy over there? I hate that guy's guts. Excuse me? You said you're a Christian, right? Yeah, but I hate that guy over there. He's a real jerk. Fresh water, salt water coming out of the same, doesn't work. Doesn't work. And we've got to be so careful, especially talking to our non-Christian friends. You know, I don't think it happens here much, and if it does, I don't know about it. Don't tell me. But I've been in churches where on the way home, the families had roast pastor. That was their lunch, was roast pastor. Talk about how bad the pastor's message was, and did you see what he was wearing today? And then they wonder why their kids don't serve God. They wonder why their kids flee the church. Well, we'll tell our kids not to lie, but then when the boss calls and we're playing hooky, tell him I'm sick. I told you, I hope you wear your big boy pants today. Matthew 12:33 says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. I can tell what's in your heart by listening to you talk about others. Are you gossiping? Are you talking trash about people all the time? And look, it's easy to do. It's easy. I fall prey to it. I'm sure, again, I'm sure none of you guys ever do, but I do occasionally. I love the look on your faces right now. You're like, has he been putting a microphone in my car? The tongue has a way of revealing who we really are. A good heart will produce good words. And a bad heart will produce bad words. A bad heart is full of recriminations and yelling and cursing at people and degrading people. I've had coaches who were horrible to you. Yell at you all the time. God, see, you're just a worthless player. You know, why do I need you on the team? And again, he may have been right. Still hurt to hear it. And I purposed after years of coaching, I purposed that I wasn't going to downgrade my players. I was just going to encourage them by telling them they were better players than this. So you'll hear me at a ball game. Come on. I got a kid named Logan that was on my team this year. Logan, you're a better second baseman than that man. Come on. So what did I tell him? I told him, that was a mistake, but you shouldn't have made it because you're better than that. I could have said to him, dude, you're so stupid. You barely know how to put your glove on. What's wrong with you? And all that happens is that kid walks away and he's torn to pieces. Kids on my team that, if they swing the bat during a bat, they don't have to hit the ball. They swing the bat during a bat. That's a victory. Dude, that was great. You almost hit it that time. Come on, man. That's cool. You know what? Because that's the way it is. What do you do with your words? See, I don't think any of us can deny that we all have trouble with this. So, how do we get better? How do we get better? I've just spent the last 15 minutes beating you over the head with a 12-pound family Bible. Yeah. Here's the good part. How do you get better? Here's what I'm going to tell you. You can get better. We can, through God's help, get better. You are not going to do this on your own. You're just not. If you were going to do it on your own, you already would have. So how do we get better? First of all, rethink your freedom of speech. This is America. We live in a country where we insist on our freedom of speech. You can't tell me what to say or not, what not to say. I have my rights. I have the right to speak my mind. Sound familiar? It's our constitutional right. It's our God-given right. Or is it? Do I really have a right to come over to Frank and say, you know, Frank, I don't like your face. Frank's like, I don't like it either, but it's the one I got. Does Frank have the right to walk over to me and say, hey, Jerry, you're a bald-headed fat guy? Again, facts, undeniable. I'm not fat compared to some things. Water buffaloes. Now, there's some fat, but water. You know, do I have that right to say that? Probably, and I do like your face, by the way. Well, now Olivia's a fan. Hey. You know, do I have that right? Well, I guess. A few years ago when George Bush was president, Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks was in Germany, I think it was, and shot off her mouth about the president. And boy, it became a furor. People got all upset at her. I guess you shouldn't say furor and Germany in the same sentence. Different spelling, but you get the idea. It became a real hubbub, and there was a problem. And she said, well, I have freedom of speech. Absolutely. Say whatever you want to. As dumb as it is, say whatever you want. The problem is, you have freedom of speech, you don't have freedom from repercussions. And by the way, your freedom of speech, even politically, goes only so far. You can't stand up and yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't say bomb in an airport, and don't try. You will not make your plane. Do we have a right to speak at the expense of others? Do we have the right to speak even when our words may hurt the person we're speaking to or speaking about? Do we really have the right? And the world may tell you that you do. The world may tell you that you have the right to say whatever you want to. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you do not have that right. And I tell you why. Because we answer to a higher authority. There's a lot of things the world says I can do that God says, no, you can't. Because it's not good for you. It's not helpful. It's going to hurt you, Jerry. Don't do it. Stand up for your rights all you want to. But just remember that the Savior we follow gave up his rights. And he died on a cross for us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The world says you have a right to speak your mind, and you know what? I guess in some ways you do. What Apostle Paul is saying in the book of Romans is speak your mind, but let God change your mind. It's not just don't say bad things about people. You really shouldn't let yourself get to the place where you're thinking bad things about people like that. Well, I'd like to punch him in the eye. Really? Because to me, that sounds like an unforgiving heart. To me, that sounds like a heart that really needs to get together with God about his attitude toward that person. Notice that I haven't said yet that any of this is easy. Because it ain't. Most of you know, I work at the sheriff's office. I see all kinds of stuff. I deal with all kinds of people. And there are times when it's tough. There are times when I have other coworkers that I'd like to lay hands on and forget to pray. But I don't have that right. Has your mind been transformed? Before you talk to somebody or talk about somebody especially, stop and ask yourself, have you prayed and asked God to give you a baptism of love for these people? Before you go after somebody that really has made you mad, and look, people are going to make you mad. There are people out there, outside, maybe some in this room, I don't know, going to just tick you off. There are people that are just bad people. I know, I got a whole jail full of them. And I'm not talking just about the inmates. I mean the guards, too. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? Look, there are going to be people who are going to say bad things to you. There are people who are going to hurt your feelings, who are going to be mean to you. Well, he was mean to me first. Okay, congratulations. Now you're as big a child as he is. When you're a kid, did you ever try to use that defense? He hit me first. All right, and? Or they make you go by and say you're sorry? Tell your brother you're sorry. Sorry. I saw a shirt the other day that I really, really, really want, but I know I can't have it. It says, I'm sorry I told you you were stupid. I really thought you knew. You know, that is a pretty good shirt. And I can't wear it. Anyway, no. Before you go after somebody, before you really take off after them, just ask yourself, have I asked God to give me love for this person? A few years ago, I had a guy who was in my chain of command. He was above me. And he, for whatever reason, just didn't like me. It was obvious, and he basically told me that. told me he was going to try and get me fired. Well, that's a comforting thought. And I was so mad, and I was so angry, and I wanted nothing more than just for the ground to swallow this guy up. And God really began to convict me over it, because I prayed. You ever read some of the Psalms? There's some great Psalms called imprecatory Psalms where David like calls down fire out of heaven on guys. You're like, yeah, I'm praying that prayer right there. And I'm praying, and God just, you know, take care of this guy and get him. And God just began to convict me. Wait a second, when is the last time you prayed for his salvation? When is the last time you tried to understand where he was coming from? And I really hate when God does that. But I did. I started praying for his salvation. I walked into his office one morning and I said, hey man, I just want you to know I've been praying for you. He goes, why? Do you think I'm going to die? I said, no, I just been praying for you. And he had this weird look on his face and he said, oh, okay, thanks. And I meant it. I've been praying for him. I prayed for him, and he's retired and gone away, and I still pray for him because he's not a happy guy. But before you lash out at somebody, when's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time you said, God, let me see them the way you do? I'll never forget Stephen Johnson saying, hurt people hurt people. You scratch a bully deep enough and you're going to find pain. Scratch somebody that, go past the surface, the spray paint we all use on ourselves. Go to somebody who's really, really hurtful with their mouths and you're going to find somebody that's in a lot of pain. Pray that God takes that pain away. Before you lash out, before you're ugly, ask God to help you love them. Husbands, wives, yes, it counts for you too. In fact, more so. I love when married couples come. We need to talk to you, Pastor. All right. And there's three pastors here. I'm the last one you come to. Because I'm very blunt. And if I talk to you more than once about the same issue and you haven't done the thing we talked about the first time, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. What you're going to get now is go do what you've already been told to do and then come back. I just don't have time to play. I'm just very blunt. Because here's the thing. If you're not willing to suck it up and do the hard work, don't come into me and ask to make it easy for you. Because I'm not. Look, marriage is hard work. It's tough. I told you I've been married 33 years. I said it a couple of weeks ago. I keep saying it all the time. Look, we've been married all those times. We've never one time thought about divorce. We've thought about murder a bunch of times. Probably her thinking of murdering me more than the other way around. I mean, because really, I'm no picnic to live with, I'm sure. Husbands, ask God to give you a love for your wife like he has. Before you're going to talk about, well, she's just a horrible wife. She's just a horrible person. Really? Because I'm guessing you're no picnic either, Sparky. Really, before you're really going to launch off on them, maybe ask God to take care of you first. You know what I found out after 10 years of marriage or so that I really couldn't fix my wife. I only had to fix me. I have no control over Lynette Godsey. She thinks she has control over me, and, well, in some way she probably does. I can't fix what's wrong with her. She can. God can. I can't. And you're not going to fix your spouse. If you don't like something about your spouse, suck it up, buttercup. Because all the yelling in the world isn't going to change that. Ladies, now would have been a good time to say amen. Wives, you're not going to change your husband. Let's be honest, most guys at our core, we're cavemen. We just are. And you think that you're going to turn us into one of your girlfriends, and we're going to talk about our feelings. We're not. Very rarely. If forced to, we might. We're just not. We're not wired that way. God didn't make us that way. Man, that would have been a good time for you to say amen. But you missed it, so can't help you. If your mind has been changed to reflect God's love for people, then the things that come out of your mouth will be different. Secondly, or thirdly, next. I lost track. Lead with your ears. Lead with your ears. I love the old Irish proverb. It says, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we ought to listen twice as much as we speak. James put it differently. James 1:19 says, under this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Wow. You ever read a Bible verse and think, yeah, I really wish I hadn't read that one. This is one of those. Quick to speak, slow to get angry. I can go from here to here pretty quickly. And I've worked on that. Man, I got the scars to prove it. When I was early in the ministry, I had no filter. I just was off to the races. And it was ugly. Sometimes when husbands and wives are arguing, they're not really listening to the other person. They're just formulating the next thing they're going to say. Okay, and again, I know only I've done that. None of you guys have ever done that before. I'm going to face it this way, because then I don't have to look at, because some of you are lying right now. No. Like, well, no, Pastor, I've never done that before in my life. We don't listen. My wife says that to me all the time. You don't listen. I think that's what she says. And by the way, guys, when your wife is trying to talk to you, muting ESPN is not the same thing as listening. Again, ladies, great opportunity to say amen. But hey. Okay, and ladies, overtime is probably not a time to sit down and talk about your problems. It'll wait. You got to pick and choose your spots. You got to shoot ducks when they fly. What a difference it would make if we would all stop and spend more time listening and less time talking. I've never listened and gotten in trouble. I have talked and gotten in plenty of trouble. Next. Oh. Should I skip the next one? Bite your tongue more often. Now you went, oh yeah, skip that one, Jerry. Radio and TV stations have this button for when they're doing live broadcasts. So if somebody accidentally says a bad word, they can press the button real quick, and it puts a delay out, and they get a chance to blank that bad word before it goes out over the air, because they don't want to get, like, fined by the FCC. You ever wish you had one of those buttons? You ever wish in the middle of a conversation, you're just like, oh, press the button, and they can't hear what you're saying? You look like a bad Chinese movie. Your mouth's moving. And they're not getting anything. What'd you say? Nothing. Wasn't important. I was just talking about the weather. Yeah, the problem is we don't really have that. And I know people who have no clutch whatsoever between what's in their brain and what comes out of their mouth. If it's here, it's coming out here. It's like diarrhea of the brain. It's just going to flow out. That was a lovely thought. Most of the time, the problem isn't that we don't say enough, it's that we say too much. Use your mute button. Bite your tongue. You're in the middle of it and you think, oh, I could really get him with this one. I shouldn't, though. we could just have that little button. I'm going to get up, I get to heaven. I'm going to say, hey, God, what about it? They were able to do it, you know, on the NFL broadcast, push that button when a guy's saying bad words on the sideline. What, you couldn't give us a button? Yep. Right in the side of your head or something. The problem is if we all had the button, everybody would know what was going on. Hey, why'd you push your button? They're going to fight about pushing the button. Just be glad you didn't hear it. James 1:26 says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. It's not okay to always speak your mind. Sometimes it's better to bite your tongue. Matthew 12:36-37 says, I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit or condemn you. If nothing else makes you want to put a clutch in your between your brain and your mouth, that verse should. And on the day of judgment, I'm going to have to account for the things I've said that hurt people. I'm going to have to give an account for the times when I was ugly to my wife. I was ugly to my kids. I was ugly to coworkers. I'm going to have to give an account. That's not going to feel good. Next, refuse to tear others down. See, I think it's interesting that the same tongue that blesses can also curse. There was a story of a king who asked his chef to make a dinner full of the most bitter thing he could find. And that night, everything had tongue in it. And he said, well, wait a second. Why has everything got tongue? He said, well, what could be more bitter than the tongue? With the tongue, you can curse people. You can condemn them. You can tell them how low they are and how unaccountable they are. What could be more bitter than the tongue? The king says, tomorrow night, bring me a dinner with the most sweet thing you can find. Guess what? The next night, everything was of the tongue. And the king says, how can that be? He said, what can be sweeter than the tongue? With the tongue, you can tell somebody you love them. With the tongue, you can praise somebody. You can lift them up. You can encourage them. What could be sweeter than the tongue? And the king says, wait a second. If the tongue is the most bitter thing in the world and it's the most sweet thing in the world, what's the difference? And the chef said, it's all in how you use it. Your tongue can be sweet or it can be bitter. It's all in how you use it. It's all in how you choose to let God bring you along. When we badmouth each other and disguise it as gossip, pretend that it's okay to do, the only people we're fooling are ourselves. The Bible is very clear on the consequences of gossip. One day we will be held accountable for the words we've said. James 4:11 says, don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. I want you to think about that. Every time you use your tongue for evil, every time you gossip, every time you go after somebody, just imagine you're taking a black spray paint can and spraying all over all the words of the Bible. Because what you're saying with your mouth is that God does not have the power to change your heart in such a way that you don't speak that way anymore. Ouch. James says the fires that we set with our tongues come right from the pit of hell. Don't let your tongue put you in a place to be judged. Finally, surrender your tongue. James 3:8 says, no man can tame the tongue. Restless evil full of deadly poison. So if nobody can control the tongue, aren't we all just hosed? No, what's it say? No what? No man. Thankfully, the God I serve is not a man. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the creator of this universe. He can control my tongue. I've just got to rely on him to do it. I've just got to put my faith in him. I've got to put my trust in him. I've got to put my heart in him. By acknowledging that you can't do it and that God can, you establish in your heart that idea that, God, you got to help me with this or I'm in so much trouble. I'm going to give you a little bit of speech therapy today. Everybody say, no, okay. All right, speech therapy. Here's what I want you to do. It's an acronym. We use the word think. First of all, before you tell somebody anything, T, is it true? And is what I'm saying the truth? Again, Frank could say, Jerry, you're fat and bald. That's true. That brings us to the H, which is help. Is what I say going to help? That's not going to help. I already know. I looked in the mirror this morning. I said, ooh, not good. I could stick my face in a bowl of dough and make gorilla cookies. I get that. So is it true? If it's true, then go to the next step. Is it going to help them? Okay. And then is it going to inspire them? Is what I say, what I'm about to say, going to inspire them to do better? To be greater in their heart. And then N, are my words necessary? Do I really need to say this? And then K, are my words kind and caring? Isn't that easy? Is what I'm going to say true? Okay. Next. See, and what happened to it? Gone. Really? I had a cool slide that had it all there. T for true, H for help, I for inspire, N for necessary, K for kind, like it's kind of gone. It was a really cool slide. If we will answer those questions before we talk, before we go to somebody, and I love what we say. Well, I'm going to them because I'm going to minister to them for the Lord. Okay. Do you know when you get to call somebody out on their sin? When you can't not do it. And you'll know it's God really goading you to go speak to somebody about an issue because you won't be able to talk without crying. Because your heart is so broken. Just walking up to somebody and saying, hey, brother, I think you're in sin. That's not God. That's you. That's you. So think, is it true? Is it helpful? Will it inspire them? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And if you work your way through all of that, again, you will speak to somebody through tears because your heart is broken for them. Hey guys, I don't care whether you're married, single, whatever. This fits you. Because we all have tongues. And we've all made mistakes. So the question isn't whether we made a mistake coming into here. The question is, how do we fix it going on? Yesterday ended at midnight. What about today? What about tomorrow? What about the next day? You're not going to do it yourself. You got to go to God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thanks.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.